Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I appreciated that devotional meditation. It amazes me sometimes how the Lord works as he brings a service together. I greet you in Jesus' name this morning. Happy to be here and worship with you. And I invite you to come up and worship with us at Cornerstone if you find yourself up that way. Message of the morning, I titled it, Our Unchanging God. And when I thought about that song, the one right here before, my faith has found a resting place. Where's your faith resting in? Third verse says, my heart is leaning on the word, the written word of God. Salvation by my Savior's name, salvation through his blood. Why can you rest in this word? Why? We live in a world of change. You can't get around it. Everything is changing. We have changing seasons. We're in springtime. Not so long ago, we were in wintertime. And so you know the changing seasons, from winter to spring, spring to summer, summer to fall, and it goes on and around. The cycle goes on. It's just changing. Say, changeable as the weather. Well, yeah. Those nice sunny days. Now we got rain. Yeah, change. Or you can think about different generations bring change. We didn't drive a horse and buggy here this morning. We drove vehicles. Because we have the technology. Man has progressed to this point where we have vehicles. We're thankful for it. But we live in a world of change. Babies that were once on our laps grow up. They're children. They're youth. They're adults. And then they're finally the elder people. Grandparents looking back and seeing the next generation. World of change. And you know, that time, as I have gotten older myself, and I look back, and I know as little children, or I shouldn't call you little children, young boys, young men, you look ahead and you say, well, I got a long life to live. It's not, till I get to be as old as that man up there preaching, it's a long time. It's not very long ago. And you've probably heard that before, but it's not very long ago. I was sitting there on a front bench as well. But we live in a world of change. In Articles of Faith, article number 2 of the existence and nature of God, we believe that there is but one God, eternal, infinite, perfect, and unchangeable, who exists and reveals himself in 3 persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Do you believe that this morning? You can turn your Bibles to Malachi chapter 3. Old Testament account, Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. That's solid. That's truth. And that is, the reason it is truth is because we have an unchanging God. I am the Lord, I change not. Let's go to a New Testament account. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Let's move away from the Old Testament on it. New Testament account. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Oh, that's not the word. Verse 8 is the one I wanted. Verse 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. An unchanging God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so when we think about God, our unchanging God, I want to try to stretch our minds and just think about it. Eternal God, we say. Can you describe eternity to me? We are so time-oriented. We go so much on time that my mind spins. Can we say spins out when it tries to think about eternity? Eternal God, as long as you can go back and even beyond that, there is no end to it in history and past. Before the creation of the world, because the creation is when time started. Before that, forever in the past, that is our God. And God is God today. He controls everything. He sees all things. He knows all things. Our God today knows everything, and He sees everything, and He controls everything, and that's present. And He will be God in eternity future. Now, we were given life at our birth. That's when we started. And we live in the present today. Those of us that have life yet, we live today. We too will face an eternity future. That's the serious part. But God always was, from eternity past to eternity future. He always will be. There was no end. There is no end. I recently came across a list of 11 things that will never change, and that's kind of what had sprung this message. And I'm just going to read that list of 11 things. And I know you... These are not found in Scripture, but these are the 11 that they had. You are accountable to someone. Excuse me. You are accountable to someone is number one. Number two, you are not going to live forever. Life as we know it today, you're not going to live forever. Number three, you can't please everyone. Number four, you'll never catch up to the Joneses. Number five, holding that grudge is never going to have the effect you're hoping for. Number six, you can't control what someone else thinks. Number seven, yesterday is over, you'll never get it back. Number eight, the world. Nope, you can't change it. You can make an influence on it, but you can't change it. Number nine, where you came from. Number 10, nothing is ever really private anymore. Number 11, you can't get back what you've lost. And these 11 things that it's got me pondering about this. We serve an unchanging God. And these are some principles, maybe fall into some of these 11 things that God has put in place that we can't get away from. Some in this list of things we can wish we could change, we can influence it to a certain extent, but we can't change them. But we have a God that is unchanging. And we don't even influence His greatness. But we live it out, right? God is perfect. He cannot be improved. He is infinite. He's limitless. That's two other aspects of God that we're not going to study much in this morning. But we looked a little bit at His eternal aspect. But we want to dwell a little bit on this unchangeableness. As we think about that devotions this morning about trusting God, why can we trust in God? Well, I said because He is unchanging. He always was and He always will be. Every prophecy, every promise He has made has been fulfilled, is being fulfilled, or will be fulfilled. Young people, when you read Scripture and you wonder about something in Scripture, it's truth. If it's not fulfilled yet, it will be fulfilled. Or it has been fulfilled. We can rest in God's word. The true unchanging word of God will be fulfilled. God doesn't change his plan because he doesn't need to. It was a perfect plan. He knows all things future. He knows all things that are going to happen and exactly how they're going to happen. And he can give promises in Scripture because of that. He knows all things. His plan never needs updated. It was the perfect plan. You know, Adam and Eve was in the perfect Garden of Eden. But man made a choice to eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they marred that perfect plan. And so God, in his foreknowledge, had already established the plan of salvation. It was already established. And that we know that that plan of salvation is faith in Jesus Christ and living it out in that new birth that we talked about in devotion or Sunday school this morning. It is a plan that is there forever. We don't need to worry about John 3:16 running out when we get to the judgment seat and we stand before God and the book of life is open and our deeds are read out. We don't have to worry about whether it's going to change. If you've applied salvation to your heart and life and you're living for God, you can rest assured that truth will stand there at that judgment. I'd like this morning, though, as we think about our unchanging God, and so I wanted to stretch our minds and keep thinking about that, our unchanging God. And now I want to go and look at three things that God has put in place, our unchanging God has put in place, that affects us very much today. And there's more that we probably could have, but there's three that came out to me and stood out to me. And God has placed these things in life. They will never change, no matter what life brings you. And you could say, well, there's a lot of promises, and these aren't the promises. We could go look at them. I'll let you do that. The one three I have this morning, I feel, is more serious than that. So the first one is Romans 6. Let's go look at one of the things that will never change, no matter what time brings. Romans 6. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We can't get around this truth. This is something that will never change all through life. The wages of sin is death. They will never, the price will never increase, it will never decrease. That's the wages for it. And so the seriousness of it is, we can't harbor any sin in our life and expect to somehow get life eternal. It doesn't work that way. The wages of sin is death. In the Garden of Eden, the serpent deceived Eve with the words, "You shall not surely die." It's God didn't know what he's talking about. You shall not surely die. Was it true? No, he mixed it, truth with error. Sin brought spiritual death. Spiritually, Adam and Eve died. And through that, we all have been born with that sin nature. We have a spiritual death. And when we come to the age of accountability, we must give our hearts to God in that new birth that we talked about. Because other than that, the sin brings death. That's the wages. And it ultimately, in the Garden of Eden, it brought physical death. Because Adam and Eve were driven out of the Garden of Eden, and they no longer had access to the tree of life. And it was physical death. Man was barred from access to the tree of life, and he started that physical dying process. you read Revelation 22, verse 2, it says, in those verses there, it says about the tree of life. On either side of the river was there the tree of life. That same tree that was in the Garden of Eden will be there in heaven. The tree of life on either side of the river. There for all, ready access to us. And so there's going to be no more physical death. Death is still a reality for each and every one of us. Romans 5, we're in Romans 6 right now. Let's go to Romans 5, verse 12. It talks more about this about the Garden of Eden. Wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. For that all have sinned, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is a figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more by the grace of God and by the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ hath abounded unto many. And so we know that as we look at this passage here, the sin that Adam and Eve, as they took of that forbidden fruit, death came. So much more through Jesus Christ, we can have life. But it is unchanging. It is something that is not going to change. The wages of sin is death. In verse 12 there we find that a little more. And death by sin. It's a truth that will never change. Every cemetery we see, every funeral should bring us to the stark reality that we have all sinned. And we are denied access to the tree of life physically. But through Jesus Christ, we can have access to it in heaven. Apart from Jesus and his provisions for our sins, we are doomed for hell. It is a wages of sin is death. And that is an unchanging fact that God has placed. The second one, Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh, shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit, shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Walter, you don't plant corn seed and expect soybeans to come up, do you? No. I think every farmer, every gardener knows the seed that you plant is what's going to come up. You can't get around it. You plant a corn seed, you're going to get a stalk of corn. You plant soybeans, you're going to get soybeans. You plant alfalfa seed, you're going to get alfalfa. You can't get away from it. God has placed this law of sowing and reaping at creation. What you sow, that's what you're going to reap. And it's still in effect today, though man has tried to, or has succeeded in producing hybrid seed. The law of sowing and reaping still is in effect. You still get corn. In the spiritual sense, it is impossible to sow sin a little bit to the flesh and expect to reap blessing. Sin brings with it a harvest that is bitter. Well, there might be a little bit of a thrill that goes with it. But the ultimate harvest of it is a miserable reaping of what we've sown. And so we receive a harvest from what we sow. And so we sow to the flesh. We sow to ourself. We're going to reap selfish thoughts, and we're going to reap the works of the flesh. There's no way around it. But when we sow to the Spirit and give our lives to God and give up of self, we're going to reap a bountiful blessing in that. We reap in accordance to what we have personally sown, not what others have sown. You see, this sowing is a personal for each and every one of us. To somehow think that our life is somehow so much harder than everybody else's. I am the way I am because of, and you put the fill the blank in. Life has been so unfair to me. It's just not fair. If you continue to feed those or sow those seeds in your life of self-pity, pity me, you're going to reap that. Reap what you're sowing. You're going to reap a miserable life. You change that around. You live a life that is reaching out to others. You live a life where self is on the throne and you give up of self. You live a life of giving to others. You will receive that. What are we sowing today? The law of sowing and reaping will never change. You sow sin, you'll reap death. You'll reap a harvest that comes with it. And you may not like, you will not like the harvest. But you see, Satan likes to make us think that somehow we can sow a little bit of sin in our life, a little bit of carnality, a little bit of weed seed, and receive all a good crop of spiritual blessings, and it doesn't work that way. Every day along life's way, we are sowing. What will my harvest be, and what will yours be? The third one. Romans 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Let's start reading verse 6. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see the love? The third one I have, God's love will never change. The love that we talked about in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves us while we were sinners. Yes, he holds out love to us. But God's love is there. He has paid the price even while we were sinners. But he doesn't love the sin. God loves us while we're sinners, but he doesn't love us as sinners. His love is reaching the cross and calling men and women to forsake sin, to give up of sin, to have that new birth in their life. God's love is there calling us to forsake sin, to follow him. But you see, the choice is yours and ours. Yours and mine. The choice is ours. If we will accept it, God's love calls us to forsake sin, not to live in it. John 15:13 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Grace. God's love delivers grace delivers God's unchanging love to those who believe. And so the grace is what reaches across and pulls us. It's that price that Jesus paid at Calvary for you and I. Are we making Jesus part of our daily lives? Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. At grace. Grace that we are saved through faith. God's love will never change. It hasn't in the past, it won't in the future. What are we going to do about it? When we ponder these three, the wages of sin is death. What you sow, you shall reap. And that God's love is there calling us to come to him. When we think of our unchanging God, from eternity past to eternity future, and that we are going to spend eternity somewhere, why do we think that we can somehow get a different wage for sin than death? Why do we think that sometimes? Why do we think that we can sow to the flesh and to the things of this world and somehow still make it to heaven? Or maybe why do we think sometimes that we can do it on our own, make it to heaven on our own, and bypass God's love for us? It doesn't work that way. Each day we are making a choice of who we are going to serve. Whether it's an unchanging God or to dwell on things of this earth that are so changing. May God help us to rest in him and his unchangeableness. I'd like to read that article again of the existence and nature of God. We believe that there is but one God, eternal, infinite, perfect, and unchangeable. Do you believe that this morning? That he is eternal. That he is limitless. That his plan and who he is perfect and cannot be improved. And that he's unchangeable. When you believe that, and you evaluate who he is, the love he had, and the truth of the scripture, should call us to be very, very serious in how we deal with the unchangeableness. Some things that we cannot change in this life about who God is and where we're going to spend eternity. The scripture's full of it. May God help us as we go through day to day to live life in realization who he is and to be ready for his second coming. May God bless us. Let's kneel for prayer. Thank you.